Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. .podbean.com.
Now, clearly, we've been paving the way over the last few months as we've been getting more and more adept with respect to Zoom, having focused our links with Melbourne, Sydney in Australia, Los Angeles, San Diego, our global Zooms, our regular correspondents on Zoom, etc. There's been one notable absentee, but she's back. We have actually succeeded with fingers crossed and various cans, strings and various other things. It's only the Director of Communications at the University of Lincoln, the fabulous Ellie Sample. How are you, Ellie?
Whoa, you make me feel so good, Alex. You're overhyping me, but I am delighted to be back. It's absolutely fantastic to be back on Siren again. And Siren is something that just doesn't stop. Nothing can stop Siren, pandemic, global crisis, dinosaurs, nothing stops you.
We like to feel that rather like the old Windmill Theatre, and you're far too young to remember the line in the second
book. I know the windmill.
Never close. Exactly.
No.
Even though we're all over the place. Of course, you're actually in Lincoln or in thereabouts, as opposed to myself, who's in the wilds of Teesside, and many of our other correspondents who have also been elsewhere. You'll be pleased to know Gabrielle is still in Gibraltar, though. So that's one sort of
thing. Fabulous. Fabulous. Gibraltar should always have Gabriella. Whilst Gibraltar has Gabriella, nothing bad can happen to the planet. It's a true story.
Precisely.
But I can tell you that Lincoln's looking amazing, Alex. The campus is looking fabulous. We're getting ready for all the students starting back in October. So getting ready for autumn. We've got massive teepees going up. We've got lots more outdoor space. And we're creating lots more opportunities for face-to-face social and physical interactions. That didn't sound right really, Alex, did it? But lots more social face-to-face interactions that are both, and also more teaching interactions. So really, really important for students joining us this October.
Well, certainly the interesting news in these interesting days in which we live in is we just had confirmed today that one of our incoming students for her first year as a student reading public relations and communications will indeed be taking part in one of these Zoomers next week to sort of just basically talk us through how she's feeling, and we'll go a whole series of these things as we build up with that. So following the footsteps of Kira Allsbrook and Ben Lewis and so on, we're kind of building up the line from there. And as we frequently said, just because we're not physically there doesn't mean to say that we're not kind of on the same planet after a fashion. Although, as you also pointed out, Ellie, we will be there, and certainly the next year will continue with what I would refer to as a pioneering form of the whole sort of system. The quality will still be there, but it'll be mixed with online, Blackboard, Collaborate, Microsoft Teams, all the goodies.
It's an opportunity to do it better, really, isn't it? I mean, we've learned so much from the last 6 months. And I think at Lincoln, you know, the students really are at the heart of everything we do. And this has been an opportunity for us to improve our teaching, improve our engagement, improve opportunities for hands-on experiences that are safe. So it's a really exciting time. And the students you name, you know, Ben and the team, They're names that have passed into legend, really. You know, they're people who've gone on to fabulous jobs with amazing global companies. And, you know, I feel really proud about that. And it's really good to be talking to students who are getting excited about joining us again and doing it all over again. And, of course, clearing's coming up next Thursday, which is another really important time. It's A-level results day. It's clearing and adjustment. So for people who do better than they hoped, who want to come to Lincoln, a top 20 university, one of the best in the country, according to The Guardian, and what uni and a number of other measures with TEF Gold. So lots of opportunities for students who are still interested in thinking about what this autumn is going to bring for them.
Everyone is going through this whole phase of interesting experiences, and we've said, perhaps with a certain amount of tongue in cheek, that when you look at the leaders of America and Britain and Brazil, you tend to think, where are we going with respect to this? But the fact of the matter is that there's always a place for developing our skill set and so on. And I was looking only this morning at actually the new way of actually learning that maybe one of the good things that comes out about this, for instance, is that when we do these Zoom calls, previously our telephonic correspondents only had a kind of mini sense of what was happening in the studio. When, as hopefully you'll be joining us again in the near future, we've got two or three other people on there, you get a full connection of Zoom on there. And of course, for colleagues and indeed students who say, but the thing about online learning is we're listening to the material, but it's a bit like, how do we read the room? Well, in radio, we've been talking to empty space for years, basically. So it's a whole new world, really, just to sort of act on.
But that is a gift that you have, though, specifically, Alex. I mean, I've not known anyone as good on the air as you in my limited history of broadcasting. You know, we're doing a lot of online broadcasts now, and I can genuinely say everything good that I do, I've learned from you. You are such a star at this, you know, which is why you're leading one of the best courses in the UK on this, I suppose.
Well, we do our best, you know. As I say, it's more than destiny, but at the same time, we all kind of fit together in a magical route from that point of view. Of course, our building still continues, and I gather that there are going to be teepees being established for the students. Socially distanced teepees are coming to Lincoln.
Yes. I'm really excited about the teepees. They're absolutely huge. You will have seen them before at graduation. When we do graduation at the cathedral and castle, you'll know that in the castle grounds, we often put a massive double teepee where we have our alumni celebration. And so given that we needed more external space, and we are really lucky at the University of Lincoln in that we do have a very large campus right in the heart of the city. So there's a lot of space for us to create these additional outdoor social environments. And we really wanted a teepee with a fire pit. And so we've got two. So it will be really exciting. And I hope that you'll join me there for some kind of hoogie, which I believe is a hot chocolate.
Right. Yes. Well,
I mean, I can see you're not keen.
No. Ellie, you know, as with many other academics, we will follow you to the ends of the world and back again.
And
if it's going into hoogie
and you credit, have.
Well, exactly. We will continue to work through that. Of course, for folk who are feeling worried, and I can appreciate that returning students, level two, level three, postgraduate students, actually a lot of staff as well, because we've had to adjust our particular experiences for a considerable period of time now. There will be uncertainty. I think it's fair to say that we are taking it step by step, and the university does have I think all of our best interests at heart, for obvious reasons, and hand sanitizers, one-way systems in buildings are all going to be in place. So as far as possible, without necessarily going through the regular checks that Premiership footballers actually get, but we pretty much have the same kind of approach in terms of ensuring that actually there will be there. Because I've had a few students who've actually been concerned about whether they could actually do the remainder of their degree just online because they didn't feel necessarily all that comfortable about leaving their countries and so on. And it's an inevitable request. We had one sad loss, actually, one of our midweek drivettes who has not been able to resume her studies in level two because her father was made redundant and she's got issues relating to that and all sorts of others. And again, there are stories like that which are upsetting for both of from both the students' perspective and from our perspective as staff as well. But ultimately, all we can say is we will do the very, very, very best to ensure that their experience is a happy one. And of course, as I also said, the great thing about this is what stories they'll have to tell the grandchildren.
These are unprecedented times, aren't they? I was talking to my team a little bit earlier, and we were saying that we had no idea.
Well, it's got to be good.
I know, but we had no idea back in March that we would still be here working in this way in August. And we're working really, really hard. I mean, I'm in at the university on a regular basis, and it's looking fabulous. All of those one-way systems are in place. But of course, people are going to be concerned and wanting answers. And we've got quite a few things coming up this week around A-Level Results Day. On the 12th of August, which is Wednesday at 2 o'clock, we're doing a Lincoln Live, which is with Wes Nelson. And you'll know that Wes Nelson is from Love Island and also an electrical and nuclear systems engineer. So he swam the Channel for charity. He nearly ran Dancing on Ice, but didn't. And he's someone who's had a whole variety of experiences. And in undertaking Love Island, obviously, he left home. He didn't know a soul who he was going to be living with, very like going to university. And he's going to be talking a little bit on confidence, resilience, dealing with haters and staying positive, and giving top tips to anyone who's currently thinking about what to do with their lives from this autumn. And then we've got some Choose Lincoln Clearing and Adjustment open days, which are on Friday this week, Saturday and Sunday. And at those, there'll be the opportunity to have a look around the university virtually, find out more. You can come in the live lounge with Emma Jobs and myself and have a look around the library with Marvin and have a look around the sports centre with some of the team, and also have a look around some of the other elements of our campus, like our wonderful Isaac Newton building. And I won't describe it all because you're starting to look a bit bored, Alex, so I'll stop talking about that. But it will be fantastic.
Rapt attention, that's all. I'm just concentrating various other factors. It's true. And I was thinking about, obviously, the new building, because I've seen that the medical centre is beginning to take shape clearly from that point of view.
Yeah.
Lots of buildings are going up, which, again, is probably indicative that, you know, things are getting back to a form of normality. I mean, it's crazy to think that the next academic year is going to be as previous ones have been, but then that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, again, it's a chance to actually engage with a whole new process.
And it's more important than ever, the important work that the university is doing around medicine and healthcare in the region and the contribution that we're making. It's not just a medical school. It's not just training 95 doctors, in addition to the paramedics and the nurses and the mental health specialists and the health and well-being students that we train. But in addition, this is providing the research. I remember that I think we're ranked in the top 10 for our medical related research in the REF, and what that means is we've got a hub of world-class excellence around health and well-being and medicine in Lincoln, which can only be good for our local community.
Absolutely. Well, I know on this particular programme segment, after we've wrapped up with yourself, after, of course, the Ellie Sample official recognised Howard Jones track, which is inevitable, it has to be there, it's in Ellie's contract. We can't actually sort of feature Ellie without having at least some Howard.
I don't come without Howard. I'm just not coming, Ellie.
It's the way forward. Following that, I know we'll be speaking to a couple of our graduates, one of whom is actually doing some postgraduate work actually in Wales. I know, why did she come back to Lincoln? But there we are. We'll talk about that at another time. And we'll also be chatting to etiquette expert Liz Brewer, of course, who's been extremely busy recently because, as I said to Liz last time we spoke a week or so ago, I'm not really one for the elbow bumps. You know, I think the elbow bumps, they're just awkward. She then suggested a bum bump. I thought, bum bumping? That's not going to be the graceful look, you know?
That doesn't sound socially distanced, Alex. I don't like to criticise.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I can't imagine us sort of recommending that to Prince Charles, although you never know. But we'll just sort of see how things pan out there. We should be joined by Phil Hurdwood, of course, our voiceover expert as well. Ellie, lincoln.ac.uk presumably is the best place to find out all the details about open days, registering for open days, the online open day experience, and so on.
Exactly, totally. You've said it very well. And for anything, actually, just visit our website and find out what your future could mean for you. But before I go, Alex, tell me, how are you? And what are your top tips for any young person currently thinking about what to do this autumn?
I will answer the second part first, which is top tips. And I'll stay with the one I tend to use every open day, which is go with your intuition, go with the tummy test. If you feel that Lincoln is right for yourself, then go for it, accept the whole thing. Have a sense of that. Ultimately, it's your decision. Have that intuitive feeling. If you trust that inner self, you won't go far wrong. It's rather like having an emotional guidance system that we all have built into us. And I think we've all been there. If we stick with that, we think, yes, that's okay, then go for it. That would be the key thing. And also acknowledge that there are lots and lots and lots of support systems and networks in place to actually access things. every one of us, including staff, are having times where we're thinking, so this is another computer system we're having to work through on that particular basis. Personally, I'm a huge evangelist for Zoom. Tragically, the university frowns on Zoom for a number of odds and ends, etc. But that's by the by. We can cope. You know, BBC use it. it's okay. So we're using Microsoft Teams. So we're using Blackboard Collaborate. Lots of things from that point of view. And no matter what stage you're at, you will have challenges within that whole field. But that's also part of the fun. And again, enjoy the whole process. Well, one keeps going. I mean, I like to feel that one of our station mascots keeps me going here, just holding up Batgirl to the camera. So she's sort of helped me through the whole sort of sequence in one of our early sort of lines there. And I think it's been a whole change. Having said that, it's a whole new case of working from home. And I think from a serious point of view, looking at what one of our other great friends and colleagues within the university, Chris Packham, will be saying, actually, maybe we need to look seriously at this, because the reduction of my personal mileage over the last, well, since March, has gone from what would have been around about 12,000 miles to about 300 miles. And that can only be good in a sense for the planet, because at the same time, it's enabled me also to communicate with students, both postgraduate students, with exam boards, with all the other bits and pieces, through Microsoft Teams, through techniques from that point of view, which can still make use of the technology. The technology isn't perfect as yet. I'm not sure, in a sense, whether it ever will be perfect, because in the immortal words of DeForest Kelly's Dr. McCoy in Star Trek, I know engineers, they love to change things. and that is something we kind of have to get used to. But at the same time, ultimately, go with that intuitive feel. And good things will occur, despite the fact that, as I said, we seem to have some very odd political leaders at present, which we could go into, but obviously we won't.
We won't, Alex, because we always get into trouble when we do that. But you must not. You can't miss my first question. And my first question is, how are you?
I thought I'd answered that. I'm here, and I'm alive, and that's to be basically celebrated, and also very grateful. I think that's something which, if you're looking for things that I've personally really benefited from, and I actually use that term quite deliberately, I think the attitude of gratitude, actually being really grateful for things, very simple things like breathing, fitness, health, all of those other factors, they're all kind of fairly critical. And sometimes we get so caught up in the of life, you know, which is probably not a dictionary accepted term, but I think I might include it now. That we forget that sort of moment to, in the words of Sarah Huntley, one of our actress colleagues and Lambda voice tutors, we forget to smell the roses on the way.
You are such a wise man, Alex. You bring wisdom and joy to everyone around you.
Oh, shucks. You know, what can I say? Ellie, we've got two critical questions for you. And there's a slight variation on these, obviously, because of the technology. So, an example, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the Midweek Drive today?
I have. It's been fabulous. Thank you very much, Alex.
Splendid. And the next critical question, and hopefully the contract is being signed as we head into Howard Jones' number, as we said, will you be kind enough to return and hopefully connect with Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar, Sarah Huntley in London, and maybe even one of our Australian correspondents, Bella Bouttan's very own Belinda Wannis in Sydney, Australia? Will you be back for that?
Sounds wonderful. My favourite people. I wouldn't miss it.
Well, we're calling this the Friday review aspect of the Midweek Drive because it's a case to actually reflect on maybe one or two things that we've heard over the week or sorted through or adventures, etc. And we've got three fabulous folk lined up for today. First of all, because she's become a bit of a regular on the Friday review and, of course, on BBC West Midlands Radio, it's Katie Grimerson. How are you, Katie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Marvellous. And I do know that actually just hearing those Erdington tones from Birmingham, etc., will make a lass from Solihull just that little more proud to actually say, yay, another fellow person from Birmingham's in Birmingham whilst I'm having to civilise folks in Cardiff whilst I'm doing a postgraduate journalism degree. Beth Gulliver, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. And how did your first ever, or your first show to date on wonderful Cardiff University Radio actually go?
Oh, great. Radio Glamorgan. It's Radio Glamorgan. It's a hospital radio. It's great. It was really good. And I've had two more shows since then. I've got one every Wednesday now. So it's really exciting.
The whole things. And so all of that sort of time when you came up to me at the end of a science fiction module in English and said, I'd quite like to do a bit of radio. It's all paying off, is it?
Yeah, definitely. That was the moment it all changed.
Wow, this is amazing. And somebody who has basically sort of probably been responsible for me in teaching in so many ways, it's the awesomely talented, I'm always supposed to say liberal Democrat soul, that is Gemma Joy. How are you, Gemma?
Thank you, I'm good, thank you. I'm actually very hot, in fairness. When people say I'm fine, I'm boiling hot, but apart from that, I'm okay.
It is, I believe, one of the hottest days of the year. So, the sizzling temperatures continue to actually work their way through the whole system. And, it's good. We've just been speaking to a fabulous soul from Boston in the United States called Hank Philippi Ryan, who is an award-winning writer and, indeed, investigative journalist. And she actually came up with her latest novel about the pharmaceutical industry called The First to Lie. And I thought that might be an interesting sort of game we could actually play from that point of view. Actually, we won't play a game. But is it, folks, ever acceptable for the greater good to actually tell a teeny tiny lie? Beth, oh, you're nodding straight away there, Gemma. I mean, clearly standing for Parliament in the last election, you know, has gone straight into that.
So. I thought it was part of the job description, but nobody told me it wasn't. Well, right.
Yeah. So it is true from that sort of point of view. So you would always say you need to maintain that, you know, honesty at all costs is not necessarily the best policy.
Yeah. Can I go first? So let me make two distinctions before I ruin my political career that hasn't really even started. I think
now, that's
politics,
not fair because you know, you're the one. You're the only one of the four of us who's actually stood for Parliament. And personally, I think that if only you'd got the job instead of that clown who's in Westminster at present with the white hair and everything, we'd be in a better position, you know?
Oh, I don't want that job. Oh, no one wants that job these days. but no, I think you have to use your moral compass with lying. You have to finesse lying. And so in politics and in professional life, there isn't a place for lying. There's absolutely a place where you go, I don't know, I'm just a woman from Gisborough. I don't know the answer to that in both professional life and political life. And people like that because nobody likes someone who's a bit smart, you know? And but in personal relationships and friendships, there's absolutely a place for a little white lie such as, you know, does my bum look big in this? No, that kind of thing is fine.
Okay, Beth?
Oh, I'd probably be inclined to agree with that because I like to think I'm someone who doesn't lie. I don't like lying. I hate it. But in terms of personally, I understand what Gemma was saying. You don't want to hurt someone's feelings. If it's something that's going to spare someone's feelings, it's not a big lie, then potentially that's okay.
I've always maintained that if you can't say anything good about something, you should just say nothing at all.
Yeah. Unless they ask your opinion. I don't really know what you do then.
Katie.
Yeah, I'm guilty of telling a few little white lies, but only to like
a confessional,
save
Katie.
Face,
you know, I'm not a priest. It's okay.
Um,
Okay, so, but you'd say it's acceptable in the same way that Beth's been saying, or would you sort of say, I mean, let's take humongous lies. Let's take, I don't know, for instance, President of the United States size lies. You know, let's talk the big scenarios. Do you not think there's a place for saying, well, if you say something often enough, people will believe it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can say it often enough, and when you hear a message, so you know the human psychology of adopting a new habit, you have to do something the same time, the same place every day for 30 days before it becomes a habit. Same thing with hearing a message, so we know how advertising works. Same thing with hearing a lie. If you see a big red bus with it on, even better lie.
The big red bus is obviously critical to the whole sort of system, etc. Yeah. Now, Beth, you're doing a postgraduate master's in broadcast journalism, is that right?
News journalism, but yeah, there's a big...
So we all know journalists never actually lie because it's, you know, it's ethically sort of ingrained to actually work through that. Have you started considering the sort of ethical and moral questions about this? And is it a case of, you know, you're tempted to respond, but I'm just an English graduate, I would never actually lie.
Oh, it's tricky, isn't it? I think definitely there's no room for lying, I think, in journalism. And we've seen so many exposés, haven't we, where journalists have just outright lied, and then they've obviously had to do those tiny little corrections in the back that no one sees, and at that point it's too late. And I think there's absolutely no room for that. The one thing I've learned already, and I don't even start properly until September, is that you just have to fact check everything about 7 times at least.
To be fair, the BBC always used to basically have 3. I mean, you know, they didn't say 7. I mean, I think 3 was the, sort of the max that they tended to work for. But yeah, 7 may be a bit overkill, but I suppose one fact check for every day of the week, which is great.
Yeah. That's what we aim for.
And Katie, you know, because you've been learning sign language, would you ever actually sign a lie to somebody?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, it's like during lockdown, Katie has actually put us all to shame because she's been learning the piano and learning sign language. It's fantastic. It's great. And signing up for WO and keeping that positivity going. Gemma, it is well done, Katie.
Thank you.
And Gemma, that comes a lot coming from one of my, should I refer to you as one of my early graduates from the University of Hammersmith Lincoln? Because I think back in the day, as I say, it was a time where it was the University of Lincolnshire and Humberside when you joined it, or was it still the University of Humberside?
It was the University of Humberside. It was 97 I graduated. So,
wow. Yeah. So indeed it was the last century, not the turn of the last century.
Yes, it was.
Do you know, who'd have thought it? But you know, the good news is Beth and Katie can say, I could be Gemma Joy standing for Parliament in a few years' time. So it's all great. Speaking about lies, I was talking about parliamentary situation. I don't want to mention any names, Simon Clark, but is it fair to say that when you actually went head to head with the Conservatives, because you were standing for Liberal Democrats in an area which obviously went to another side. I mean, as I say, had you been in my particular, you would have got my votes, but sadly you were just outside the border, out of the boundary. How did you find that? I mean, were you shocked by the kind of malevolence, or indeed the sort of the attitude that was taken, or was it just a case of, well, we just have to deal with it?
I don't think I was shocked. I didn't go in expecting to win, obviously, but you go in because, you know, when you're in a smaller party like the Liberal Democrats or the Greens, you don't expect to win, but you need to make your mark. And, you know, you need to get your message out there because, you know, we do live in an electoral system that doesn't suit most people. And that's why people say things like, it's a wasted vote, my vote doesn't count, because actually they've got a bit of a point there. So it wasn't a surprise. Brexit was a big sort of red and blue issue, and you know there was a magic grandpa, Mr. Corbyn, so there were lots of things at play. So I actually didn't take anything personally and just thought, I've got to give the best account of myself and the party and the messages and stand up for people who want to vote Liberal Democrat because they're liberals. And that's all you can do. Times are strange, and the next few years we'll see where we end up.
A few months, really, Gemma. I mean, we've got the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We've got a possibility of flooding coming back. We've obviously got a second wave of COVID-19. We've got the influenza winter scenario coming through. And, of course, you've mentioned it already, Brexit. So, you know, four whammies there to actually sort of take us into, you know, complete despair.
Not about COVID, anything about that. You hold my hands up there.
Yeah, exactly. The Zoom sort of the Zoom gremlins are always saying we can't take it anymore, etc. Katie, does that concern you? I mean, you know, we look at those sort of things because I know sometimes you get a little bit anxious and I say, it's all right, don't worry, we'll chill out, etc. Is it a case of, I'm just going to listen to my Oasis tracks and hope for the best?
Literally, yes. I've been listening to Oasis, Stone Roses, The Smiths, and it just seems to calm me down a little bit and stop my overthinking about everything.
Okay. Beth, do you overthink? Are you prone to overthinking?
So much. Yeah, I'm a very anxious person. But during lockdown, actually, weirdly, I've been quite calm. And I read a study on it, and apparently it's because anxious people are so used to expecting the worst to happen. Now that the worst has happened, they're fully prepared. They're like, yep, I was right. Great. So yeah, I overthink everything. It's been difficult, but better than I thought. At the start of lockdown, I was worried about how I'd cope, but yeah, music's definitely helped, so I understand what Katie is saying there.
And obviously we've got Zoom, we can see each other now, as opposed to just doing the radio stuff. It's just wondrous sort of things that we're actually working through. Incidentally, I have a little yelp of joy that actually was given by somebody who Katie's worked with before, Eloise Sheehan, who's very excited that you're actually back on the programme. I said, well, come on, Eloise. She was all set to come on, but then she was actually the subject of a visitation from some of her university friends. There we are. She obviously doesn't classify you as a friend these days, Beth, but, you know, that's by the by.
Rude.
Yeah. Raise that program. I mean, I was tempted to actually break into Flash, Savior of the Universe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Memories.
Yeah. It refers, of course, to a convention we actually had, Gemma, where we actually met Sam Jones, the indeed incarnation of Flash, Savior of the Universe.
Amazing. Yeah.
In fact, a dream ticket, probably Sam Jones and yourself going for Liberal Democrat or indeed President of the United States would possibly work. Let's not talk politics. Let's move on. Because next week, you may or may not be aware, it is A-level results time. Yay! And what I'd like you to do for the next
is
just have a little kind of perusal, a little think back. And given that, you know, this may be going out, in fact, will be going out on Siren Radio and people might sort of be sort of pointed in the direction of this. What is it that you most enjoyed about your time at the University of Lincoln or its former incarnations? Gemma?
This is a really pretentious answer, but I think one of the things I wanted to do at uni was explore myself, and I did intellectually, and I know that's a really boring thing to say, and I totally wasted my student days in not going out, not getting drunk, not smoking things that I shouldn't have smoked.
But you become totally midwit drivers as a result, you know.
I totally wasted it by learning stuff. That was the best bit.
Okay, Beth.
Oh gosh, I think in terms of the university lifestyle, I really enjoyed the academic side of it, but the thing that I valued the most was all the extracurricular things outside of it. I was in the singing society, it's an a cappella group, and then also the radio, everything we did for that, that's been, if anything, more useful in interviews. That's what everyone has asked me about, everything I did outside of my degree, like how did I make my experience better, and Lincoln was brilliant for that. There were so many things to do. So yeah, definitely that.
So lots of variety, lots of changes in that. Of course, I mean, in many ways, I think I taught you on three separate programs. Gemma, very much close to the heart because it was, I think it was communication processes when you actually signed for the degree. Or had we switched to media, culture and communications there?
No, I think it was communication studies with media, with something.
Oh, well, so good. Yeah. Well, there we are. So that was it. Bethany, I just taught for the science fiction module part of the third year English program. So I guess an English graduate. And Katie, of course, I kind of was parachuted in to look after American studies, which is why, obviously, if nothing else, I left her with a full appreciation of Bonanza and High Chaparral, which is good.
Which I've been watching.
Nice. Exactly. I feel in many ways I'm amazed that the university marketing department don't actually sort of use the theme to Bonanza, either sung with lyrics by Lorne Greene or in its entirety, you know, just for the whole sort of system. Anyway, Katie, same question. What did you actually get out of your American studies program at the University of Lincoln?
For me, it was just more about like the writing essays side of it and just completing a dissertation, because when I was at college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do and I didn't even want to go to uni. Then I found American Studies course and I just really loved the sound of it. And the life at uni was really good as well. Everything was central to where I lived and I met some really good people and I've done the radio, which I'd never expected to do. So it's just really good.
Where we are, a win-win situation. And it has to be said, Katie does actually earn the prize for most punctual student, because Monday morning, 9 o'clock, she'll be 20 to 9. It's fantastic. You know, I mean, I thought I was used to do early, but, you know, started 20 minutes to go, she'd be there, ready to go, cooking with
half
gas.
Half an hour early.
Genius. And if I may say, Katie, very impressive that you already seem to have your Christmas decorations up in the background as well. I mean, you're just ahead of the game, girl. Every sense of the word. It's just great, you know. Here we are, hottest day of the year. I mean, I know this morning I did a feature on favourite toys and how Argos have just produced the favourite toy. Apparently, ladies, the must-have toy this Christmas is indeed a cross between a pooping unicorn. That's a pooping unicorn, and indeed a pooping flamingo. Either of those two are sort of winners, together with the Lego Lamborghini. So this is according to Argos and their toyology experts, which is a career you might like to consider as a possibility. Gemma, if the pharmaceutical industry doesn't sort of quite pan out, consider becoming a toyologist. You know, it will be there.
I will. I'm happy with that. Now I've heard the pooping unicorn.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head around a pooping unicorn. And frankly, I don't know. It's just, I think, where are we going? One of our colleagues, Sarah Huntley, actually said she once was exposed to a toy puppy that actually could have its stomach unzipped to actually give birth to baby puppies. And for me, I'm thinking that's a one-way trip to psychoanalysis for years to come. You know, it's just
okay.
Certain things, I just wouldn't go there. Gemma, who would you like to throw a few questions across the airwaves, either to Cardiff, Wales, or to Erdington, Birmingham, from your delights of Gisborough, northeast of England?
Well, I would like to go to Erdington, but because I don't know Erdington. I've never been there. I'm sorry to say I've never heard of it, so I'd be quite intrigued to know more about it.
What about Erdington?
What's the biggest thing about Erdington?
Oh, I don't know. There's not that much here in Erdington. It's a bit, it's not the best part of Birmingham.
Do they celebrate Christmas on a regular basis, Katie?
Yes, they do.
That's all we need. That's all we need to know from that point of view. You know, and it's got the Grimason household there, which is, you know, excellent for that. I mean, Beth, have you ever managed to, because, I mean, do citizens of Erdington look down upon citizens? I mean, is it Solihull? Was I correct in terms of that? Or have I got
Near Solihull, it's Bromsgrove. So, maybe 20 minutes, half hour from Solihull. But in terms of when I went to uni, I'd say Solihull or Birmingham, because no one knows where Bromsgrove is. It's tiny.
Well, I mean, let's just test that if we may, Beth. I mean, Katie, family outing for the Grimersons. Is it a case of, hey, Mum and Dad, let's go to Bromsgrove? Would it be greeted with, yay?
I don't think I've ever visited Bromsgrove that much, but I think it's in, like, the Worcestershire district.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. There we go. Someone knew it. Yay. But I wouldn't recommend a visit. It's just boring.
No, the Worcester, you should don't undersell the place, Bethany, and likewise with. I mean, I'm as Gemma will attest to, I'm more than happy to actually talk about the delights of Dinsdale or Allen's West. You know, if only for sort of stops on the journey from Darlington to Middlesbrough, which, and I'm sure, Gemma, you appreciate both of those wonderful, august and very important places.
When you say appreciate, I acknowledge that they are places. Appreciate is a little bit more of a subjective word that I wouldn't use. But Allen's West is quite famous for being a really small train station. Is it probably the smallest train station?
It is very, very small. Very, very small. In fact, perfectly sized for both Bethany and Katie in many ways, being there fairly wee in there. So it's great. But we're not sizist. Let's move on to Lexi. Bethany, time for your good self. Do you want to throw any questions to Katie or to Gemma?
Yeah, of course. I've got a question for Gemma, actually. In terms of your campaign, what was the hardest part for you?
I think the hardest part was biting your tongue. And funnily enough, not about Brexit, because obviously people are because I'm a liberal, people are entitled to have their own individual views because that's what liberalism is, while you might disagree. That wasn't the hardest thing. It was when a lady came to the door and said, I don't know who I'll vote for. My husband tells me who to vote for. That was possibly...
It's the Northeast.
I almost had to be held back there.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, there we are. Yeah. So the Northeast is there, and it's as you can tell, ladies, patriarchy is still alive and well within certain areas. Probably sandwiched between Dinsdale and Allen's West.
I really want to visit the Northeast.
You should. It's amazing. It's amazing. I love the accent. Plenty of that on offer for you. It gets weirder as you go further north.
It's very true. And once you cross the border, it could be very, very strange indeed. Sorry, Bethany, no. Any other questions you want to throw into the team?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
We'll come back to you.
Katie, can I ask you, what did you say you were doing on the radio? You said something about, was it West BBC West Midlands, was it, or did you say, or BBC?
Yeah, so BBC WM, they've got this thing, it's like a job club for people who have become unemployed because of COVID. And I seen that they, like a status on Facebook. So yeah. I met and they said, message us if you know anyone or if you've been affected. So I dropped them a message and then the producer come back to me and he was like, can we talk to you on our show? And I said, yeah. And then it was just gone from there, really. Like, I've done two shows with them and then I've got one on Monday as well. And it's just like a phone-in interview, really, and telling them about my experience and stuff. Brilliant.
Socially distanced, of course, and Katie, of course, was on furlough from the University of Warwick. So, as I like to say, the University of Warwick's loss is BBC WM's game, quite clearly. So, Katie, would you like to throw some questions to Bethany or Gemma, as we obviously need to give you right of reply from this point of view, even if it's only a case of why haven't they got their Christmas decorations up as yet? I don't know.
So, Gemma, how long have you been with the Lib Dems?
Since the day after the referendum in 2016. So not at all. And I didn't join thinking I would like to stand for Parliament. I joined because I wanted to support the cause of we need to remain in the EU. I was outraged and sufficiently so to put my name to the mast. And then a little bit like your experience of being called up on the radio, people were saying, do you want to stand for the local election where you live? And I thought, yeah, I think I will. And then, do you want to stand as our candidate for the general election? Do you want to go for, you know, candidacy? And I thought, well, if no one else does, I suppose. And then, I just landed into it, really. Didn't put a lot of thought into it. It wasn't on my list of things to do when I was 21. But time's running out for me now, so I thought I'd give it a whirl.
Yeah, why not?
But I would advise, it's a journey, and if you want to get involved in politics, it's really rewarding. There's so many different things you can do, and there's a shortage of women in politics, which we absolutely need.
It's interesting, actually, Gemma, there you kind of said exactly the things that George Washington was noted for saying, that the last person you want to have elected as President of the United States is somebody who wants to be President of the United States. Mm-hmm. And that effectively that notion of having somebody selected who had not necessarily thought about it but emerged as a natural leader is probably a better way to actually get a leader. It's one of the reasons why the old Tory party used to allow their leaders to emerge as opposed to actually do a zip wire zoom across London and set up some Boris spikes, but never mind. I still think he's probably got some sort of sickness that's brought on by COVID that he's just not quite there, really, but still, never mind. Bethany, you're thinking about maybe politics as a possible subsidiary once you've wrapped up your postgraduate studies?
Weirdly, yes. So I've always thought that it would be something that I find really interesting. I was always on, like, I know this is minor in comparison, but like school councils and things, like every year in school. And I've always liked sort of giving a voice to people who can't. So in the back of my mind, I've definitely got, right, let's do journalism for a bit, gain some sort of life experience, get a bit older, and then like maybe like late 20s, early 30s, I was thinking.
Oh, very old.
No, just a bit older. So that's the plan anyway, hopefully.
Katie, politics appeal?
Yeah. Not really, no, not for me. I think Brexit's put me off a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point. I mean, Gemma, that whole line, which clearly, you know, we're all going to be enduring that thing when it actually happens. You know, it's obviously, we're seeing the line now. And you felt sufficiently irate to effectively, you know, stand for Parliament as a result of it, or join the Lib Dems at least. What would your advice be, Gemma, to folk like Beth and Katie, who kind of are going to be the generation sort of really kind of impacted by this? And, of course, your own children, of course, who are there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I've got a little bit of a test case of, I've got two children, two daughters. One's 15 and one is 7. 7-year-old absolutely loves leafleting. She loves coming to knock on doors. She loves to talk about Brexit. She knows why I think it's a bad idea. She could articulate that. The older one called me on polling day and said, "Are you the candidate in the local, in the general election?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, your face has just popped up in my school and it's so embarrassing." So very much a divide there. And I think my advice would be, if politics, anything about it, floats your boat, and people get into it for lots of different reasons, for shaping policy, for supporting people who don't have a voice of their own, as Beth said, for supporting a cause, whether you think it's socialism, capitalism, whatever it is, get involved, because there's so much that it can offer. And I think I totally agree with Katie. I can see why Brexit would turn you off. It was constantly moving, constantly changing. You literally had to keep up every hour of every day to see where it was going. You still do. I totally get that not only have people now got COVID fatigue, they've also got Brexit fatigue. And I totally accept that. And we'll take on that for them, because, yeah, some saddles are interested in it.
Having said that, Gemma, some of the texts that Katie has sent me when we've had some words of, shall we say, wisdom uttered by Dominic Cummings, they've been quite incendiary, really. I mean, I thought, ooh, I mean, you know, my mobile phone's almost exploded with the irate nature of Katie's text. So she's, "Have you heard what he said now?" Very good, yeah. So I think that there's a political sort of animal just waiting to emerge there, Katie. You know, just burst out, just go via text. It's been an awesome Friday review, as we knew it would, because we had an ace team put together. We're going to go around to that sort of last sort of sequence at this stage. So I'll start off with Katie. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer on the program today?
Yes, as always.
Of course, the fact we call it a Friday review, you don't have to listen to it on a Friday. You can listen to it any time of the day as soon as it actually goes live. So, you know, it's just there. That's the magic of the whole thing. You may hopefully, in the not too distant future, be able to listen to Beth Gulliver's shows online as well. We just haven't sussed out the sort of links on that basis. But your next one for Radio Glamorgan is?
Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Wednesday at 7 p.m. What will you be focusing on there? What's the
It's a hospital radio, so I try and put a little mixture of everything. Lots of like sort of older classics that everyone knows, usually quite upbeat, and then a lot of modern songs as well for some of the younger people.
Clearly, you could go with "I Did It My Way" and "Now the End Is Near," of course, Frank Sinatra. Or if you're looking for an introduction side of things, my classic line for hospital broadcasting, for those of you who are listening in the cardiothoracic unit. Boo! Which is a nice occasion. It's
terrible.
These things. You might like to sort of work through that. I mean, you know, the other line, of course, is, "Well, I'll hopefully be back next week. Some of you may not be. Never mind." You know, it's just
can't say that.
A heartboosting thing. You know, they're Welsh. I'm sure they'll understand it. It's a way. Gemma's spent many a time in the Southside Broadcasting Studios at the James Cook University Hospital, so, you know, she appreciates that. That didn't do us any harm, did it, Gemma?
You have to have an element of dark humour when you're dealing with hospital radio.
So, Beth, has it been a good Zoomer for yourself today?
It's been great. It's really good to be back.
Excellent. And I take it you'll be returning in the not too distant future?
Yeah, of course, definitely.
Excellent. Katie, will you come back again?
Yes, I will.
Katie was nodding there because obviously it works so well on radio and especially on Zoom calls. Genius. And Gemma, what about yourself? Has it been good for you?
Yeah, it's always good for me. I'd love to come back again. It's been a delight.
There you go. Actually, stay there. We may book you for another little piece in a few moments from now. But for the moment, Beth Gulliver, Katie Grimerson and Gemma Joy, happy Survival Day.